Welcome to the DTFH. My God, today's guest is one of my favorite people living today on planet Earth. One of the funniest people out there. Of course, you know Luis Gomez from Legion of Skanks. I hope you've seen his stand-up. It's amazing. I would also like to make an announcement on his behalf. He now has a solo podcast that you can only subscribe to via his newsletter. If you're listening to this, just go to DuncanTrussell.com. The link is going to be in the show's post. It's going to be down there if you're watching it on YouTube. Gomez is so fucking cool. He really is. There's very few people I would take a bullet for. And Luis is not, I wouldn't take a bullet for him, but I would like think about it. But by the time I thought about it, it'd probably be too late. I've got kids. But Luis J. Gomez is such a sweetheart. And I love him so much. And I hope you enjoy this conversation with Luis J. Gomez. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for doing it.
Love you, dude.
Love you.
You're the fucking man.
You are the man.
I say it to everybody. You're my favorite person in comedy, and I really mean that.
Thank
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. That means the world to me,
man.
The man, thank you. Yeah, you are one of the only people when you're like, you want to do the show on a Sunday?
Yeah.
That I would be like, yes.
Fuck yeah.
Because you're fucking awesome.
Thank you.
And your crowds, oh my God.
Just kiss me on my mouth right now. We're just sucking each other's dicks on
the show.
Let's
talk about your diddling hand.
My diddling hand.
No, seriously, I'm interested because which hand is your diddling hand?
My diddling hand is I masturbate with my left hand, and if I'm playing with a girl's titties or vagina, it's my left hand. So I was telling
you're left-handed.
No, I'm right-handed.
Now that is incredible.
Yeah.
So explain this to me because you from time to time, you read like people who say if you want to jerk off, don't use your right hand.
Why do they say that?
Use your left hand. I don't know. I've tried it.
Yeah.
It just, I can't make the switch.
I think I'm from the generation of, I'm 42 years old, and I was masturbating when the internet came out. I was like, and those are my prime beating off years.
Okay.
Like when AOL, like I was like in eighth grade, seventh grade when AOL came out.
Yeah.
And I think that I trained myself to browse with my right hand while I'm beating off. And
got
I always
it.
Needed a lot of different options. It wasn't like I would find something and then now let me, it was almost like I'm looking, I'm scrolling. I was like, that's not it. It's maintaining the whole time.
So you weren't picking like one.
Well, back then I was because you didn't have many options.
No
back
options.
Then. But then the whole thing, you know, moved into, you know, the not the streaming sites, but like the, you know, the X videos and the U porn sites. And like, you would just, there was so many options and you'd find the perfect video. And then I'd fast forward to the cum shot to make sure that I wanted to come to that cum shot. And I try to time it where I'm like fucking going to jizz at the exact same time.
Wow.
I'm a real freak.
You were trying to sync up.
Yeah.
With the dude.
Yeah.
Because you were fully trying to like go into.
I was going into it.
To
the
that's
fantasy.
So weird. I always would sync it up when the girl came.
That's crazy.
I'm joking.
But you know, back in the day, you would watch like, you know, and I think it's just my generation. We just got addicted to porn. Everything got thrown at us. Wow. We went from, you know, finding a magazine in the woods and, you know, having the scrambled on the TV and you kind of, you know, try to like wait to see a titty and kind of look in there to, you know, full-fledged, like just thousands of options. You could find any type of porn.
Yeah.
And I think my generation got addicted to porn in a different way than I think future generations or generations before that.
Why?
I just think it was the options. We had so much, you know, and they dropped it right on us. Like prime jerking years, the internet came in. And then we just kind of became addicted to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that I wouldn't say I had a porn addiction, but there was a time where I would watch porn and jerk off every day.
I mean, yeah, I would say that, you know, if, and you know, these are the kinds of things that I look forward to after I die. Because, you know, I have a fantasy, like, you know, either it's nothing or somehow you have access to all data in the universe. In other words, you could say, create a chart showing the average number of masturbation sessions, 1970.
Yeah.
Then 1980, 1990, and we're going to see a hockey stick, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
An explosion. Like, all of a sudden, Kleenexes around the planet, inundated with jizz.
Dude, if I can go back in time and invest in Kleenex in 1995, dude, oh my God. What dude. Could you imagine how much the stock shot up?
I mean, and they probably didn't know first. Yeah. They probably didn't understand. Like, what is this surge? Like, it was moving trees.
Yeah.
Extra trees died because of porn. We beautiful changed, trees.
We changed the universe because of porn.
It did
create a ripple effect in probably a lot of ways. Probably a lot of serial killers that would have just murdered people were just beating off and just, you know, dealing with it that way too. It's probably helped the world in ways too.
Well, yeah.
It's not all negative.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's all negative. Yeah. It's fascinating. It's like there's so many secrets when it comes to porn. You know, it's a secret thing. People are embarrassed by it. You don't want people to see your browser history. People like us probably don't care.
Right.
But
pedophiles, they care. The only people who care about you seeing their browser history are pedophiles.
Oh, no. Let me tell you.
Well, besides like douchebags Googling themselves too much, you know.
That.
What's more embarrassing, being a pedophile or Googling yourself?
You are a freak. You know what I mean? So you can't use your like sense of comfort with your identity to gauge the world. People are hung up, dude. And
well, I think comedians in general, we're especially the type of comedy that we do. It's you're open, it's just you make fun of yourself. Like the embarrassing, what's embarrassing is funny.
That's what I'm saying?
So if somebody found my browser history and knew exactly what I was jerking off to, and all my friends were making fun of me on a podcast about it, it would just be hilarious.
You know, yeah, exactly. But not this is like it's really dark. Right. How there are dudes out there who will jerk off and like weep. They'll cry. They'll like go to confession. That, you know, they'll carry.
Oh, because they jerked off?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I wouldn't jerk off on Christmas or Easter. And I was always an atheist, but in my mind, there was like a 1% shot that God was watching. And then I just didn't want to like disrespect him on Easter and Christmas.
Dude, I get
it. So I would abstain all my jerking off years.
I will tell you a legitimate. Do you want one of these? Do you
no,
get
no,
into
no,
this
I'm
shit?
Good. Thank you.
I'll tell you a legitimate, like weird paranoia I have. I'm afraid that I'm going to be jerking off to porn when a nuclear missile attack happens. And I know that doesn't make sense because who cares?
I would try to time it when the bomb actually hit. Like, what a great way to go, dude. Like in the Terminator movie, you just turn into a skeleton, but you're like, you're coming.
You would probably smell your frying jizz.
For a second.
For a second.
The last thing you smell is boiling jizz. What a way to go, dude.
Oh my God! I wonder what it smells like.
We can figure it out. You can boil your jizz, Duncan. This isn't a hard thing,
dude. I just haven't thought of it yet. If I'd thought of it, I would have jerked off.
Dude,
in Hexclad.
Hexclad is one of my sponsors, so I'm going to jerk off my Hexclad when I get home, and I'm going to see what it smells like, and I'll describe it to you later.
Listen, I don't mean to defame your sponsor,
please.
But
oh, they're going to drop me after this. That's okay.
I don't want them to drop you.
No, I'm kidding,
dude. You know Hexclad. Apparently, and this, but I don't know for sure. This is not like but Hexclad or Teflon. Mm-hmm. So if Teflon goes over 500 degrees and you have a bird in your house, the bird might die from the released fumes coming off that shit. People don't know that. It's called Teflon flu. Like, you know, people right now, like I'm sure you're aware, there's just been this uptick in like weird cancers, weird diseases, just a general kind of like strange variety of ailments all over the fucking planet. No one's really sure what it is. Right. I'm not saying it's Teflon necessarily, but people are cooking on this shit that we never cooked with ever.
Right.
It's new shit.
And it's going into our food. We're putting it right into our bodies. Yeah.
Breathing the fucking fumes. And I've seen Hexclad.
Yeah.
It's beautiful cookware.
Beautiful.
That design in the Hexclad is incredible. Apparently, what's the deal? Eggs don't stick to it.
Then it's just, I guess it's, I don't know. I should have listened more to when I do my ad reads, but it's just, I think it's like three different types. So I think it's not just like cast iron or not just Teflon. There's like they meld different types into it. And it's just, it's enjoyable to fry an egg on. I'll tell you, if you fry an egg on
have
it,
you?
Like, that's, yeah, yeah.
What's your offer code?
I don't know. Regs, R-E-G-Z.
Regs. If you guys want to get Hexclad, use offer code Regs. Gomez will get something from that, and you might get a strange disease. I don't know for sure, though. But I know they're beautiful. Dude, I've seen the Hexclad commercials.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my wife, thank God, she stays on top of this shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, look at this. Can you pull up Hexclad poisoning?
Use my promo code. Pull up Hexclad poisoning, please.
What? Hexclad poisoning / Legion of Skanks.
Poison. Hexclad toxic. Cookware review.
Does Hexclad have toxic chemicals? Hexclad may be using a chemical called PTFE as a nonstick coating on his pan. It's a forever chemical that can build up in the human body and does not break down over time.
That's good. So you become Hexclad. You're fucking... Dude, my body is Teflon.
When the nuclear bomb goes off, you will watch the jizz slide off your stomach.
Yeah, dude, fry an egg on your stomach.
Dude, so we sort of talked about this last night. Right now, I just so wish that I lived in New York. I so wish I lived on that side of the country because these drone sightings are blowing my mind.
They're blowing your mind.
Have you seen one?
Of course.
You've seen the ones they're talking about?
I live in Jersey, dude. So if you look up at night, you will see them every time. It's not like it's a one-off thing. You got to catch it. They're flying around. I mean, it's just the government doing some testing, some shit. They're not letting us know. That's it. That's it. They don't have to let us know everything. Do we think we know everything the government is testing and doing? That'd be crazy. We probably know 1% of what they're doing.
Yeah, but...
So that's why my mind's not blown. I'm going like, oh, another thing the government is doing that we don't know? Well, yeah, obviously.
No, listen, I think that's a very balanced way to look at it. Now, the problem there like, is that sometimes when the government tests stuff, it's not great. Like, you know, what do? They released, can you look up federal government releases disease into subways? You know about this?
No.
See, sometimes when they do these tests, the testing, it's not the best. Like, especially if what they're doing is like some kind of survey. I don't care, by the way. There it is. The most infamous says the contamination of the New York metro system with Bacillus globid, whatever, a non-infectious bacterium used to simulate the
Isn't
release.
That Korean barbecue? Some Bacillus globuli? I love that. It's delicious, dude. They released Korean barbecue into the subways. That's not that bad, Duncan. I think you're being a little bit of a conspiracy theorist.
That's the government I want, man. That's what I was thinking. If those drones were like dropping ketamine or something, how nice. Like,
yeah, that'd be nice.
But no, I think if you go straight to aliens, that's a stretch. Like, clearly, it's obviously us. If they really didn't know what it was. Oh, Josh, pull this up if you can find it.
Yeah, there's nothing flying over our skies that the government doesn't know what it is. Like, there's no... Also, like, they apparently, like, you know, they can't send drones over oceans. Like, the way the drones work, they only have a certain amount of battery life. They only have a certain amount of gas that they have to refuel. So it's not like Russia or China or, like, any of that. You know, the drone technology doesn't exist, apparently, to even get here. You know, so I just kind of like, you know what it is, dude? This is like my philosophy in life.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the, like, we're just not supposed to know everything. So I just, like, maybe it's ignorance is bliss in a weird way. But, like, I just kind of go, like, how am I going to worry about that? That's such a thing that it's, like, it's so far, like,
no,
from something I can touch and fix.
I think that's where I start.
Yeah.
But then... It's more of like, it's not like I'm like, oh my God, the mothership is here. It's more like, whoa, cool. What is that?
Right.
I'm curious. I want to know. And I'll tell you why I'm excited about it. If, and I don't know because I haven't seen them, but from what I've heard, these things can hover for hours. Like and so that's exciting because, you know, a standard drone, you get like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, if you're peeping, like, you need more time than that. Like, it really sucks when you've got your drone, peering through the window.
Yeah.
That bathroom door opens. They're about to take the shower, and then boom.
Returns right back to you. Battery's dead.
It's the worst. You forgot to bring your extra batteries by the time you get the thing up. You know what I'm talking
about? Are people using drones to peep?
Of course!
I had no idea.
Drones are the... Like, if... Oh, my God.
I can't control a drone well enough to get it to point at a bathroom window. I wish I could.
Dude, I could show you the tricks. It's not that hard.
I'm so bad at flying drones.
Oh, my God, dude. I've got... You've never heard of Peep Drone?
No.
PeepDrone.com. Use offer code Duncan. No. Dude, I had a drone for an afternoon.
You sound like Martin Luther King Jr.
I saw the most beautiful woman taking a shit. No, I had a drone for an afternoon, and it was so, it really is the best. Like, I'm telling you, it's so fun. It's weird. It's the power to just shoot up into the sky and see your house from the sky.
Did you see the racing videos where they race through like old construction sites? It'll be like an abandoned building, and it's just like zipping around. Like, these are like professional drone flyers, and they have a camera, and they go like 100 miles an hour, and they're just zipping through shit like it's nothing. Really cool.
Really cool.
Drone races are awesome.
But yeah, I destroyed my drone in like within 3 hours. It was broken because I flew it into the window because I was trying to scare my wife. But it just smashed in the window. Yeah. But
did you see the one guy who shot at the drone? The guy in Florida?
Yeah, dude.
That guy ruled.
Dude, I know.
It was an Amazon delivery drone, and he was like, fuck that. He shot it, and then they zipped off. He actually hit it, and they arrested him.
There's a whole YouTube channel, or there's a genre of drone video where they taunt crackheads. So the drone, like, the crackheads, like, it's like a nightmare if you're, like, if your eye is a fucking kite and a drone is following you. So they're, like...
I'm realizing how much I need a drone now. I didn't realize all of the fun uses. I literally was like, oh, cool, it flips.
Oh, my God. Drones are the coolest. But, again, it's the battery life is the problem. And so if... This is what's exciting about it to me. I do think that they are our tech. I would love it if they weren't. It would be interesting and fun if, you know, the CERN particle accelerator had fucked up, or if AI had, you know, sliced a rift in time space and these fucking orbs were flying out and the drones were to, like, try to, like, monitor the orbs, which is what people are saying.
Which kind of funny is, like, I don't even think that's too crazy of a conspiracy. If you really think about, like, how fast AI is moving and what, like, it sounds like crazy when you say that, and you're like, well, that technically, I mean, I feel like there's a path to that happening.
Oh, dude, do you mind just pulling up, like, Chinese choreographed drone video? Have you seen this shit?
No.
I mean, this is incredible.
They do them on, like, didn't they do, like, a lot of drone shit with, like, the fireworks this year? And, like, they're adding a lot more into it. They do cool shit.
Check this out. Those are fucking drones.
And, I mean, I'm assuming it's, like, set it and forget it. They program each drone to do a certain flight pattern, and then that's that.
Yeah, so now imagine adding...
But we really are morons. We're just, like, they're just lights. We're just, like, lights, pretty. I just walked the Christmas tree and the Driscoll, so beautiful. I just stared at it for 15 minutes.
Dude,
like, just, like, lights.
That's exactly right. And I think that once you start understanding people... And you realize they just like pretty lights. Because, like, this is the future of war, by the way.
That says the N-word right there in Chinese. I don't know if you know that. I know how to write Chinese. I know how to write the N-word in every language. That's really what it is.
People are going to be in a trench at night. And fuck it. If I have a weaponized drones, I'm not just going to send them in to kill you. I'm going to do a little light show in front of you. You know what I mean? You're going to see, like, fuck you. Or whatever it is. This is... You know, what you're seeing here is really cool. It's the civilian application of the most incredible apocalyptic military technology that we've ever had. You know what I mean? Like, just imagine, like, you've seen the Ukraine videos. Just one of those fucking drones fucks you up.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. They shoot at it. You can't hit the thing. And some of them just sit out.
What do they, like, carry little missiles? Or I don't really know what the military uses. You would hear about drone strikes back in the day.
Yeah.
And that was before, like, you can buy a handheld drone at Best Buy.
Right.
And like, I never really understood what it really meant.
Yeah.
But like, do they have like missiles, or they carry bombs and drop them, or how do they actually attack people? They have like little guns? No.
Some of them have guns.
That's fun.
And they it is, all of it is fun. It's
dude,
like,
how much fun would that be to have a drone with a fucking gun on it?
Dude, this is the future. And so the New Jersey drones are obviously us like trying to get ready for what an attack would look like. And the truth is, they can't fly a drone from Iran. And those aren't our drones. But what you can do is get a bunch of those. Can you pull up drones flying out of battleship? So you can get a bunch of drones in a battleship.
Or an aircraft carrier.
Submarine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then just release a swarm of these motherfuckers. And if they figured out the battery problem with drones, then you don't have to, you could, like, it's not great if your drone is like only going to fly for like 30 minutes, but if these fuckers are flying,
I think they do fuel ones. I think they do solar powered ones. They have a lot, they have ones that are hybrid where they have every sort of like power source. I'm sure, by the way, this is what we know. I said before, we know 1% of what the government's really doing. They probably have drones that can go across the fucking world at this point. It probably exists. We just don't know about it.
Oh, and check this out, Louis. Yes, I'm sure they do. Check out self-assembling drone robot. Look at this shit. And
That's Iron Man, Duncan.
Dude,
you watch a Marvel movie.
That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. It's so cool. Self-assembling drones. Look at this thing. No, that's not it. I should send you this one. It's kind of obscure and probably hard to find. But they have these drones now that can, like, they're modular drones that fly together and connect to make different tools or just whatever. You want it to, like, open a door. You want it to pick something up. It's so fucking cool. So the reason, and I'll stop yapping about these drones, and I can't believe you've seen them. I'm really jealous. The reason that I think this is cool as fuck is just because it's so weird. That's all. Anytime we have to...
If you can't explain it, it's fun.
Exactly.
It's fun, dude. Yeah. You know, if you don't know the answer there and you have to use your mind and imagination, you know, we're in the creative business, which is like we use our mind and imagination a lot. But I think why everyone's so intrigued with it is because most of the time we're just trying to get from point A to point B. People are obsessed. They're doom scrolling on their phone.
Yeah.
I think imagination is sort of out the window for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think when you have something where you don't have an answer, I think your mind starts to go like, whoa, it could be this. It could be that.
Yeah.
And that's just like whatever endorphins start getting released when your mind's thinking that way. And, you know, even when you're saying things like, you know, about, you know, future AI, you know, ripping a hole in the time-space continuum and drones flying, I'm going like, whoa, I never even thought of it that way. And it's like, that's exciting. That's like a fun, it's like, you know, it's like fucking writing a movie in your mind.
Right.
And it's that, I think that's kind of why everyone's so engaged with this. I think the answer is probably, the government's testing some military shit. They're checking, you know, flight patterns, you know, technology. You know, it's probably a dark, fucked up thing, and it's not anywhere near as fun or, you know, weird as we want it to be, but it is fun to think of it that way.
Well, the fun part of it would be if they've come up with some kind of new form of, like, accessing energy. If they've come up with a new, because, like, that's this dude, Dr. Stephen Greer, he talks about the alien cover-up, UFO cover-up, the UAP cover-up, whatever it may be. It's not because they don't want us to know there's aliens. It's because whatever these ships are using for energy is free energy, basically. Maybe from what they call the quantum vacuum or something. They found a way just to, like, pull energy out of nowhere. And so if that technology exists, that is the only thing, like, the thing that's holding civilization together as we know it is we all have to be connected to the grid, to the power grid. If they had infinite battery cells that produced infinite energy, we wouldn't have to be connected to the grid. That means you just take one of these fuel cells, go to the Sahara Desert. You could use it to power a greenhouse. You could use it for whatever you needed, and then civilization would just sort of spread out. We wouldn't be all stuck together
right,
like we are, because So that's why it's exciting to me is, holy shit, dude, that means so many crazy things. I mean, right. Have you ever thought about, and I really would love to know your answer. You had your own spaceship. It could go anywhere in the universe completely safe. How long would you stay on Earth?
I mean, I'm finally at a place in my life where I am enjoying my time on Earth. So I don't know that I want to give that up just yet.
You can come back.
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah, I'd go to fucking Mars tomorrow. I'd be sick. But yeah. Even like when you hear about these like trips to space or even like the deep sea, that thing that fucking imploded, I do have a, you know, real fear of like just shit going wrong.
Yeah, sure.
So it's like, you know, you hear about, you know, like who was it? There was somebody like famous that they offered to go down in that, you know, that submarine that was going to check out the Titanic. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I just decided to not go. They offered me the trip. And it was like, you're that close. If they, either one of us, they're like, dude, you can go explore the Titanic and this thing is completely safe. Because that's what they were telling them, obviously. I might take that trip. That's really cool. To go look at the Titanic, like underwater and fucking up close.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing.
That's cool.
But I have a kid. I finally am at a place where like I'm enjoying like my life and my career and my health and like all of these things. And it's like, I'm a pussy when it comes to like I won't skydive. I mean, how cool would it be to skydive? Have you skydived?
Fuck no.
But I'm terrified of heights, but I want to do that one day. I want to like feel what it's like to fucking free fall out of a plane.
Sure.
And like that has to be such an exhilarating, crazy experience.
Yeah.
But the 0.001% chance that chute doesn't open.
Yeah.
And then I'm just dead for what? For like a thrill? It's kind of, you know.
Right.
You know, I think that, and also in like with my basic life philosophy, it's like, you know, I'm trying to think smaller and smaller, you know, and trying to take care of like my circle and my tribe and the people that are right around me. I think we're way too focused on shit that we can't fix. And all of these big things. And it's fun to sort of imagine, but like I'm at a place where I can create tangible change in my life and move the things in front of me in a really meaningful way. And I do think very big and I dream big and I have massive goals, but those goals are based on the next step, which is right in front of me.
Yeah.
Right? And I take that step because I believe in that big goal and I'm walking towards that. And then I start to run towards it and I'm fucking sprinting towards it. Right. But it's, you still have to put one foot has to hit the pavement. You got to keep moving forward. And I just, I don't know that I would just go to outer space. Like how guaranteed is the technology?
100%.
100% guaranteed? You agree with me.
What?
Are you agreeing with me or are you saying that the technology?
No, since we're fantasizing.
All right.
You know what I mean? I guess it's more of a thought experiment.
Right.
So So here's what these drones look like. They're like, 5,000 square feet. They have like a little garden in them, a little pool, hot tub, nice bed, like a great DVD collection. I don't know if there's Wi-Fi out there, but you know what I mean?
This is a fantasy world where technology, I think we can get Wi-Fi on this drone.
Yeah, we got Wi-Fi on the drone.
Don't limit yourself, Duncan. We got Wi-Fi.
I've got a fucking pleasure dome that can go into space, but I'm like, it can't have Wi-Fi.
what a weird line you're drawing right now. We have to have a DVD player on this thing.
Blu-ray. Okay, That's what it is. So in other words, you don't even need to find a habitable planet. It's already nice as fuck in there. You got the Star Trek thing that like 3D prints food. You got safe hex clad. We figured it out so your eggs aren't sticking if you want to cook. So this is what I'm talking about. The reason I like to think about this is because I just wonder how many of the people out there who are so seemingly deeply concerned with the fate of planet Earth would stay on the planet they're always trying to save. Because I have a feeling they would split real quick. I don't know for sure, but what's her face? Greta, that kid, you know what I'm talking about?
Thunberg?
I think Thunberg would be on the first fucking pleasure dome out of here. We would see clouds of people who were like allegedly all for the human race and for helping, And really, they were just maybe a little bit more concerned with themselves and trying to, like, save the planet because they didn't want to die on the planet.
Right.
And ultimately, though, what I mean is, like, we're kind of trapped here together. It's a gravity well that you were born into, and you can't get off of it. We're fucking stuck here. And everyone likes to, you know, make it all romantic and shit, Mother Earth or whatever. But it's like Mother Earth, like, misery.
Right.
Holding that writer captive in the cabin. She won't let us go.
Right.
We're stuck on this motherfucker. And I would really love to see that first, like, just watch the clouds of pleasure domes rising up off the planet as people departed for various areas in the galaxy. You could always come back. You can come back, but I just feel like a lot of people would fucking split.
Wherever you go, there you are, you know? And, you know, I'm, you know, can I bring my son? Can I bring my family?
Absolutely. You could have a whole cluster of
money.
Drones.
Money is not an object.
No, we have free energy. We can, free, like, energy, assemble matter, anything you want.
You can create food. AI's figured it all out. I have no connection to the planet. I don't have no connection to, you know, that. It doesn't matter. I was thinking about this recently. I did a staycation. You know, I love traveling. I love, you know, as soon as I started making money, I just wanted to go check out new places, see new places. And just recently, I was hanging out with the chick, and I was like, let's just fucking just come to Jersey. Let's get go to a spa, some nice restaurants. And literally at the end of the weekend, I was like, yo, this was awesome. I didn't have to get on a plane. I didn't have to go elsewhere. I was like, it's still me just eating good food, me kind of like just soaking up the weather and enjoying company and like... I think that the external stuff, it's just, it's sort of inconsequential. How it's affecting you and you're perceiving it. So, but yeah, it is super interesting. But yeah, Pleasure Dome sounds awesome.
But no, I know
sounds
what you
like
mean.
Sounds like a better life.
Can you pull up, type this in, please, Josh. Type in, the great way is not difficult for they who hold no preference, but the third patriarch of Zen. This is what you're talking about here, man. Check this out. There it is. The great way is not difficult. This is from Sen Sen Ming. Open this up if you don't mind. See if it's a quote. Okay, listen to this. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preference. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, then hold no opinions for or against anything. To set up what you like against what you dislike is the disease of the mind. When the deep meaning of things is not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. That's what you're talking about. It's like the grand trick of modern life is the idea that somewhere over there, that's where things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Never here. Always a few degrees away from where you are.
Yeah.
It's not like the next step is the path.
Right.
The next fucking step, I'm not even thinking about the next step.
Well, people don't, they don't think bigger because they can't even imagine the path to that. And the next step is always the path, right?
Yeah.
And it's always in front of you. There's always a path I really believe this, to really anything that you want.
Absolutely.
There's an absolute definitive path. Any goal you have, I mean, this is some, you know, some dumb chick secret bullshit, but like, I really do believe it. Like, there's really not much in the world that you can't attain, but you have to take step one, step two, step three, step four. And a lot of people, they can't get there mentally, so they never take step one.
That's right.
They get stuck and they sit and they go, well, this is what it is. And I grew up, I was just talking about this with somebody. I was like, when I was a little kid, I was very cynical and like just kind of like I never really believed in spirituality or God or anything like that. And I was so poor and I was very aware of being poor. And I was just cynical, a cynical little kid being like, yeah, you know, like, what is this life? And then I became a little bit more of a realist in my adolescent years, my teenage years. And then I got into like, you know, maybe my 20s and then my 30s. I just started to think like a lot bigger and my mind started going like my progression was very kind of weird. It like became like much more of a positive outlook on life.
Yeah.
And I think I needed some wins. I think I needed some things to go right for me in my life in order to understand that those paths are there.
Yeah.
And I feel like my sister, we had a very similar upbringing. She never really had a lot of those wins. So she's sort of still stuck in that cynical thing.
Yeah.
Right. And she never moved on to being a realist and going like, okay, this is reality, this is what's happening. And then you start to go like, oh, reality isn't where I want to be. I want to be bigger than that. And I think you have to train your mind to think that way.
Right.
But you need the wins, right?
What do you mean by win?
You need to whatever a win is for you. Like, I'll give you an example with my son, right? I love this story. This is a real true story. My son, when I first moved to the suburbs, my niece and my son, they came over the house, and they were talking about having an iced tea stand all summer, and it just didn't materialize. I moved to the suburbs in the fall. Or I'm sorry, like a lemonade stand or an iced tea stand.
Oh, iced tea. Okay, got it.
And they talked about doing it, and they never did it because I was in the city, and I moved to the suburbs in the fall. And then I was like, well, why don't you guys do a hot apple cider stand?
Cool.
I was like, make a hot apple cider stand. And they were like, yeah, I love it. They got apple cider donuts and hot apple cider, and they had a big pot in the house. It was like, you know, keeping it hot. And they were outside with this. They made the sign. It was really cute. This is, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And I remember after like 45 minutes or so, they just weren't getting any foot traffic. Nobody was stopping. You just saw their little minds wandering away from this little entrepreneurial moment. And I remember being like, fuck, dude. I was like, they can't lose this.
Right.
They can't. I was like, this lesson is going to stick with them. Like, you know, they need to get this win right now.
Right.
So I ran up the road and I just saw some chick and I was like, hey, can I give you $2? Go buy a donut and a hot apple cider from these kids. They need it.
Yeah.
They need to see that there's a path to doing this.
Yeah.
And she came back and she was like, she thought it was sweet. She was like, you know, you have to give me money. And she came back and bought some hot apple cider, and you just saw them light up, both these little kids. And they were like, oh shit. And then they got up out of their chairs. They were waving cars down and they were yelling at people from the street. They started like looking at the neighbors going into the house. They're like, come on. And they made like $20 or whatever. But the story there for me was like, you know, they needed that win. If they lost in those formative years, that lesson would have been like, maybe I shouldn't try.
Right.
You know, same thing with my son. He won a jiu-jitsu gold medal in a jiu-jitsu tournament.
What?
He's turning 12 this year. He won it like a year and a half ago, maybe.
What's his belt?
He's a gray belt with 3 stripes at this
point.
Damn. He's going to, the children's system's a little different, but he's probably the equivalent of like a high-end blue belt.
How long,
like,
has he been studying?
4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Like pretty intensely. Since we moved to the suburbs,
cool.
Like he's been like really in. And he's very sweet, very like, he's not aggressive in class. He's very good. He's very, you know, he's a very smart kid, but not aggressive. Never really like tries to kill people or smash people. And we just put so much work into this tournament. Like we were working on moves at home, and he was getting caught in triangles all the time in class, and we were working on triangle defense.
Yeah.
And it was just, we went to this tournament and he ended up winning all of his matches, won a gold medal, was really aggressive. Like there was a moment where he was nervous. He was in the finals and he was like, Dad, I'm really nervous. And I was like, look at that kid over there. Look how nervous he is. And the other kid was, you know, twiddling his thumbs, like looking around. I was like, be less nervous. I was like, look right through him. I was like, let him know that you're the fucking man. And my son, I'll show you the video after this, dude. You see my son like looking at him like this, dude.
Oh my gosh.
And he like, we go to shake hands and my son like squeezes hard, dude.
Holy shit.
It was super intense. I've never seen my son have that sort of intensity.
Wow.
He went and he fucking just smashed him. And it was just this moment where he had this gold medal. And it was, look, if he would have lost, there's a lesson there too, right? But him winning and getting that win and these years where you're putting in the work and reaping the benefits of the work, step one, step two, step three, step four, I think it was so important. It was such an important lesson in his life to go and be a winner in other areas of his life. And I didn't have a lot of wins when I was a little kid.
Right.
That's why I was so cynical. My sister didn't have a lot of wins when we were little kids. I started making those wins for myself very early, very young. And I just, it wasn't, I didn't have a mom or dad that made sure that I was doing what I needed to do or would run up the road and ask that woman to come back and buy. You know, nobody was sort of watching over me. And I know that I'm very lucky that my mind thinks this way. I think I'm very privileged in that regard. I think even if, you know, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, that's a different type of privilege.
Sure.
I have my own type of privilege. But when I say a win, I mean those things.
Yeah.
These moments in your life where it's like you could win or lose. And I think winners keep winning. And I think it's really hard to get out of like a loser mentality.
Yeah.
And I'm very protective over my kid learning those lessons and moving forward and trying to win.
That is such a cool story, man.
Thank you.
And that is like, peak dad experience, yeah. right? That's just...
The best moment of my life was watching him win that tournament. Yeah. With that tournament, dude, I mean, it was like better than him being born, better than any other experience in my life. If like I've never... You don't know it until you have a kid and you have kids. You know exactly what it is, but it's like... To live in that moment, I mean, I would have given everything I have. Like, that's it. That was everything that I want.
See, okay. This is, I think it's so interesting when you consider, like, value, right? Like, so there's this concept of value that we have in the world, which is generally quantifiable. How many Bitcoin do you have?
Yeah, how much money? How many fans if you're a comic? How many followers? Yeah, there's that. Super quantifiable.
That shit. And that is, like, I'm sure that, Satan could appear to you and say, listen, Gomez, I'm going to give you Saudi Arabia. I just want you to give me that experience. You won't remember it. Your son won't remember it.
Yeah.
But you will own Saudi Arabia.
You'll own Saudi Arabia.
You wouldn't trade it.
No way, dude.
No fucking way. Not even for all that oil. Saudi. No. And so, that's where it gets interesting is like all the baubles, shiny lights in the world are nothing compared to one moment like that. And I think that's really curious to me, man, because number one, what you just described is you can't really quantify it. We don't have a metric for
that's it.
For dadgasms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no metric.
Oh, dude, I was dad jizzing all over the place that day. Oh, my God, dude. Just dad coming over and over and over again, just wiping myself up with dad Kleenex. Just fucking, I got it on my face. It landed in my mouth a little bit. I like the flavor.
Oh my God.
It was wild.
I can, and so to me, like that's where the cynicism emerges because it's like, if the wins you're going for are these quantifiable metrics that have been set by corporations to give you a sense of, okay, you're doing good now.
Mm.
Even when you get them, you're getting nothing. You're just getting like artificial fruit that you have to pretend is juicy. You're eating it, realizing you've been scammed. There's nothing here at all.
Well, the real wins make those wins just, it's almost becomes like, oh, like obviously I'm going to make more money. Obviously I'm going to have more fans this year than last year. That's neither here nor there. That's brushing your teeth in the morning.
Right.
That's the way that I look at it. Like if each year isn't better than the last, like am I even like doing what we're supposed to be doing in life, which is progressing through this whole thing?
Right.
And obviously we all care about money and material possessions and all those things. But I think those wins and those moments make you sort of, once again, I think it just makes it an easier, more palpable journey to get the things that are easier to sort of quantify. And it becomes very like, oh, yeah, it's money. It's fine.
Well, okay. Also, though, there's like a story. Like, depending
When you're not emotional about those quantifiable, maybe it's the emotion. When you have emotional wins, you're like, that's really what matters. Then when you go with, you know, more surface layer stuff, you're like, that doesn't really matter. But it's neither here nor there. That's obvious.
Icing on the cake.
Yep.
But, you know, man, like, the family I was born into, you know, essentially like there wasn't like. This idea, like the idea of like making money from art or being your own boss or starting your own business or any of that stuff, it was never even brought up. And I think for a lot of people, their experience of their parents is, you know, their parents come home, their boss is happy with them, their boss is mad at them. And so there's always some like mysterious, invisible man who is the reason you have a house because he's paying your parents to work.
Scary.
It's scary as fuck, but that's what so you actually think, man, I hope I have a good boss when I graduate or when
they put you in school with 35 other kids and you sit in a row and you learn this way. Yeah. And if you're not learning this way and you're not a part of this system, then you're a problem. Like I was a terrible student and I had no inspiration, no teachers that were trying to like I had really bad ADHD. you know, I was you know, always fidgeting in my chair and always drawing on my arm and fucking not paying attention, but I would do really well on standardized tests and I had a really high IQ and I was, but there was nobody, this is the 80s and 90s, they just didn't care. I was a broke kid. There was no diagnosing me with something. It was like, oh, he's a problem. He's distracting to the other students. Get him out of the classroom.
Yeah.
I remember my principal in high school literally said to me, he was like, you're not going to graduate from this high school. That piece of shit, Mr. Lefever. Fuck you, Mr. Lefever.
His name was Fever?
Lefever. It was a French fever.
The worst kind.
The worst kind of fever you could have.
Dude.
And yeah, he was like, you're never going to graduate from this high school. And maybe the only reason I graduated from that high school, and honestly, as I'm saying it out loud, maybe that was his
you
idea.
You got to wonder.
Maybe that was his idea. Maybe he wasn't a piece of shit. I've said for years that this guy's a piece of shit. And this has been a story that I've repeated before. I was like, this guy's a piece of shit. But I just had a moment where I was like, maybe he fucking knew that that's who I was.
Yeah.
That he said, you're never going to graduate from this high school. And that would drive me to be so defiant that I'd be like, yo, fuck you, watch me. And I did. And, you know, that was, I think he was a piece of shit. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was using it as a way to motivate me. Maybe he really understood his students and there was a reason he was in the position that he was in.
Could be.
Right? Very well could be.
You'll never know.
He might have been great. You know,
have
who
you
knows?
Tried to reach out?
No.
You should reach out and ask him to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
See if...
Come on, Legion of Skanks.
For real. I want to see Lefever.
Lefever.
Are you a piece of shit, Mr. Lefever? Yeah. We want to know. You know, man, this is Mitzi. It was really interesting watching the way she would like develop comedians because some comedians, it was just like, you know, prime spots all the time. Some comedians, infinite torture. And it wasn't a uniform methodology of developing comics. It really
but
was,
you think it was deliberate?
100% was deliberate. Yeah. 100% she like got some read on them and then was putting them in spots or not, was psychologically torturing them or not, was ignoring them or not. And I mean, look what she did to Gary Shandling. She like dragged him. He had to audition for her so many fucking times. And like, you know, I'm positive that there was a method to what she was doing, which was maybe the Lefever method, which is like some people.
The Lefever method sounds like a real thing.
The Lefever
we're gonna call
method.
That the Lefever method.
It sounds fucked up, yeah. Dude. It sounds horrible. It's Stanford Prison Experiment shit, but
yeah.
You know, sometimes people don't need you to be soft with them. Sometimes. This in Buddhism, it's called wrathfulness. And people think that means yelling or some aggressive shit. It doesn't. It just means sometimes certain people just need to hear exactly the truth. Here's the truth. You're not going to graduate. You're going to go bankrupt. You're going to die if you keep fucking shooting fentanyl or whatever.
Right.
They don't need you to be all soft with them and stuff. That's cutting through. It's like cutting energy.
Right.
Not everyone needs that. Some people you do that kind of energy right. to. They'll have a nervous fucking breakdown.
Yeah. And I have a lot of people that I've, you know, run a few businesses within the world of comedy and I have a lot of people that work directly for me. And I know that. I mean, there's certain people where like we yell at each other, we're fucking cursing at each other. And it's like we're just and it goes both ways. And there's certain people you just can't do that with. There's certain people that are like, you know, you'll shatter them and you won't get the best out of them.
Now,
you won't. And I think you're 100% right that not everybody fits every model. And, you know, I'm an old sales guy. I've only had sales jobs my whole life.
No shit.
They call it mirroring matching. Like you have to know who's in front of you. Like you'll see when you have a good salesman, like I'm a good salesman. So I recognize sales technique.
Yeah.
So I'll be in front of somebody and you'll see very quickly to be a kind of a savvy sales guy. And he'll throw a little curse word in the conversation. Because he knows he's like, oh, I'm talking to a New Yorker, like, you know, bald, kind of gruff Puerto Rican guy.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, oh, he's mirroring and matching.
Oh, I hate that shit.
Yeah, he knows exactly who I am. But I, as a sales guy, I appreciate it. As an old sales, like, if somebody's good at sales,
yeah,
I'm going like, oh, yeah, dude, sell me. Show me what the fuck's up. Like, yeah,
right.
And I get into like the method and I see them going through the closing triangle and I see them not accept my rejection. I see them, they give me back my rejection. They give me a box close and they were like, well, we've decided. And I'm going like, yo, you're fucking doing it, bro.
That's cool.
And if they're good enough, I'll just give like, here's the money. Like, I appreciate you putting in that work. And it's, as a sales guy, I appreciate it. Some people don't want to be sold. Some people are like, dude, don't fucking sell me. I know what I want. But once again, that's another type of person you have to mirror and match. If you have a person in front of you that doesn't like being sold, you have to pull it back. You know, and a big part of sales is understanding who's in front of you, who you're playing ball with. A big part of, you know, the dynamic when you're running as a comedian, you're an entrepreneur, right? You're in the Duncan Trussell business.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of different people and vendors and people that you work with. And you have to, you know, sort of know who you're playing ball with in order to get the best out of them for your business.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, dude, I was like at a shitty mall around here because I've lost my fucking Apple Pencil, which I'm trying to learn to draw. So it's the dumbest errand ever. And I'm at the mall. I pass like a skin cream store. And this dude is like, he sees me and he's like, "You need some skin cream?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "I didn't mean you need it." And I'm like, but already, this is like a master salesman. Because now I've stopped.
Yeah.
I'm like, "No, it's fine. He's like, "Why don't you just try this stuff though?" I'm like, "All right." Recognizing this is an incredible moment of like capitalist seduction. It's like, okay, sure. What are you going to do to me? So what is genius? He puts this incredible skin cream on one of my eyes.
Yeah.
And it really did like make it look better, but on one side of my face.
Like, "You want the other side? $3,000.
So I have this one, like,
you look like Two-Face from Batman.
And then he does, like, he's like, "I'm going to give this to you." I'm like, "You're giving that to me?" He's like, "I mean, no, you have to buy it."
Right.
And, but dude, his ability, like, recognizing, like, I enjoy the artfulness of the manipulation. I was never going to buy the fucking skin cream. Right. I don't care if it looks like I had a stroke for a few hours after whatever this stuff was.
You got fucking Bell's palsy face.
It looks like I looked at a vampire through this eye and the other. Funny. But you know what neuro-linguistic programming is, right?
No.
That's what that shit is. That's a really incredible, very potentially like evil way of manipulating people.
Yeah, so, it's all manipulation, but manipulation is, it can be used for good or evil. We're all manipulating each other. Everyone's selling somebody something at all times. You're either being sold, right? It's an old saying, right? You're either being sold or you're selling.
I'd rather
be the one selling.
Is that, well, sure, of course, but I wonder if that's really true. You're always selling or being sold. Like, I've heard that before, and it's an interesting concept. Wouldn't you consider that a fairly cynical concept?
No, I think it's more based in realism. It's not cynical. It's not because manipulation isn't inherently evil. We manipulate people to do amazing things. We manipulate people to change the world, to fucking help people, to donate to poor people, to, you know. So manipulation, there's a negative connotation to the word, right? But I believe that, you know, you don't have to use that superpower for evil. You can use it to do incredible things.
Dude, what you're saying is why I believe that there is an Illuminati.
Yeah.
You know, the story about the cider stand, the intentional deception to create a sense of...
Yeah, it's exactly a great point.
Right?
Great point. So, right? So that I was manipulating the children. I kind of manipulated that woman a little bit. I pulled at her heartstrings, right? I brought them together. I created this moment. I'm this little fucking... Now I can go like, I'm manipulating everyone. Or I can go, look, I'm teaching my kid a lesson so he can get this win, so he knows that if he puts work in, he reaps the benefits of that work.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
So
there's nothing negative.
So imagine this. You know, as above, so below, we do know for sure there is a scale when it comes to intelligence, or I guess you could say situational awareness if you don't want to be an asshole. I know there's different forms of emotional IQ and blah, 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 but let's just...
We're not women. We can say
let's say, yeah. Some people are fucking really dumb. And by that, I mean very limited situational awareness. Like, these are the people who, like, end up, like, getting murdered or, you know, wrecking their car or, you know, just doing stupid shit that they never had to do that. They're the people who, like, go into the lion cage, or they're the people who, you know, and they're not doing it for adventure. They have very low situational awareness. And right. So those people, most of them are dead. Like, but, you know, in the sense, like, the earth eats those people. But there's also people who have very high situational awareness. Salesmen, salespeople. I know you hate it when I gender salespeople. I think you're being a little sensitive about that. We can talk about it on another podcast.
It's a separate show.
Okay, but politicians, magicians. I mean, like actual like coin magic and shit. They have very high situational awareness, right? Yeah. So they see.
By the way, I know a little bit of coin magic.
No, you don't.
Yeah, dude, I did a whole thing. I did a whole magic show at Skankfest.
What?
We did a. It's on YouTube. You got to watch it.
Why didn't you tell me that? We wouldn't have talked about any of this bullshit.
It was so fun, but it's so funny you say that because I just read a book on magic, and they were just talking about like magicians are manipulating you. You know they're manipulating you. You know they're lying to you, and you're like, oh, I love it. Mm. Like, and it's one of the only times where like you know you're being lied to,
yeah.
And you can't even catch the lie.
I know
that it's like such a beautiful art form. It really is like. So much, it's cooler than people even realize. Like,
oh
really
God.
Good magic, and
it's
like,
the best.
Yeah, my son does sleight of hand magic too. He's a little nerd, and like, yeah, he's getting into
Dude,
it.
Dude, I just taught the oldest how to palm coins, and so I was putting him to bed the other night, and he's like, Dad, coin. He had palmed it, perfect palm.
It.
I got him a bigger coin, but the so all that being said, we also know there's people. Who are very selfish, and there's people who are benevolent. There's people who actually want to help. You know, they understand that's a good way to live. It makes you feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you take that quadrant, super high situational awareness and benevolence. That means that people like you who feel okay using deception if it ends with a positive result. That means there's secret societies, dude. That means. You know what I mean? That's what that means. That means that, like, you have to look at history and wonder how many things that we think happened in history were just put there intentionally to give humanity a win.
All of those, like, religious miracles were literally just magicians that were doing sleight of hand, basic magic. They talk about these miracles, you know, throwing one of the ones was a cane and he threw it on the ground, it became a snake.
Snake.
Yeah.
Classic.
That was just literally just a magic trick.
Classic
and
magic.
And this book that I read specifically went through, they were like, they went through how you do it. And then they had other magicians throughout history recreate it. And it's like, no. They were like magicians and like, they were, you know, cheats. And they were like, you know, a lot of them were just trying to like rip people off. But they would use them like people that were in positions of power would use magicians to sort of help create this mystique of miracles happening. But I think most of those people that are like, I witnessed it with my very eyes. Like they literally fell for a trick.
Well, I mean, just think about it. It's like there's lots of ways to take control of a country. The idiot way is war. That's a dumb way to take control of a country.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of death. The infrastructure gets blown up. You've got to rebuild.
Isn't it weird? Like, why don't they just play? It seems like there's, why not just have two guys go into
Laser
a cage
tag.
And yeah, then we got to fight each other. I was going to say doing an MMA
fight. Flip a coin,
which what is, there's really no difference. When you really think about it, you say,
right.
We're going to flip a coin, winner or loser. I guess it's more, you want skill to be a part of it. But, like, why does everybody have to die?
Well, because you want to subjugate them. You want, like, the idea, like Genghis Khan, the idea is, like, it's not just that you want to, like, great, so now the country is yours. You won the coin toss. What about all the people in the country who think you're an asshole and don't want to accept you as the king?
Mm.
So the coin toss isn't going to work. What will work is just swarms and swarms of fucking drones
with machine guns.
Dude, okay, you're the king. But then there's if you look at like people like Rasputin,
mm-hmm.
who like, you know, the other way is the way the magician like sort of and by magician I don't just mean parlor magic or coin magic. Actually Aleister Crowley's definition of magic, do you know what it is?
No.
The theory and practice of causing change according to one's will. So in other words, magic encompasses whatever, writing a letter, going to the grocery store. All of it is considered magic. And then the higher forms of it get weird.
Well, I say all the time, like sales and comedy too. Comedy and sales, I have a lot of, because I'm a salesman and I do comedy, but I've seen all these parallels. And when you really think, if you step back, right, what is sales? Sales is you say a magic spell. Like you say the words, a series of words.
You got it.
And money moves into a bank account, right? Is that not like, what is it? It's just, I'm just saying words. I'm pausing. I'm stopping. I'm letting you talk. It's just words into the air. There's not, I'm not picking right. anything up. I'm not putting anything down. I'm just going, you know, abracadabra. And then there's money in a bank account. Same thing with comedy. We figure out a series of words and pauses and phrases and things that make everyone laugh. And it's just, it's intoxicating. And then money moves into a bank account.
Right.
Or you change these people's lives and you change their perspectives. It's the closest thing to a magic spell.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
I mean, it actually, and that's the, you know, magic, everyone, like, I understand. It's not Harry Potter. And that's another trick, by the way, is like if you make everybody think magic looks like riding a fucking broomstick around, then they won't see when you're actually practicing magic. And that another part of a big part of sales, I think, is like you're not going to sit down with someone and be like, I am going to manipulate you now to buy this fucking car. I'm going to use tricks that are incredible to seduce you. You won't even realize it, but like I'm so good. I can get my eyes to fucking dilate in a way that matches your eye dilation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to fuse with your soul for a moment. Until
but by the way, if you ever seen like Penn and Teller's bullshit, not bullshit, that was a great show back in the day, but their reality magic show, Fool Us.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Great show, right? I saw Penn and Teller in Vegas with my son. I take my son on a father-son trip every year. We did Vegas this year. One of the coolest places to bring a kid. People are like, don't bring kids to Vegas.
Oh, I've thought that before.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. So fun. We saw Penn and Teller. Dr. Drew got us backstage. We had to meet Penn and Teller after the show. Hung out with them back. It's like literally in the dressing room. Like hearing Teller speak was crazy. How did I get there? I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, no. Fool Us, right? So it's like they're literally, you know, they're watching these magicians and they're just watching the movements and magicians can see it, right? And the really great magicians fool them and they get the prize or whatever. But magicians sort of watch, but a magician can appreciate the beauty and the art, even though they're not falling for the trick. They know the sleight of hand. They know what they're doing with the card. They know where the coin went. But you still can go, oh, that was beautiful technique. And that's how I am as a salesman. When I watch a salesman that's doing really good sales, I sit back and I go, oh, let me let him work his fucking magic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah. It's amazing. And then, you know, but you add to that. See, so this is where it gets back to the fucking drones. This is where it gets back to this, like, what you're saying is absolutely right. The governments of the world keep secrets from the people. It's a magic show. In the same way you know a magician is keeping secrets from you on purpose, so are the governments of the world. I'm not saying in some sinister way they call it national security. I'm just saying this is just part of it. This is why there's security clearance and stuff like that. That gets you backstage to the magic show. Mm-hmm. And there's deeper and deeper levels of backstage. But where it gets really weird, knowing all of that, and I really do believe this. I have no proof for it. But I do think if we ever see, whenever we see civilian technology, like Google's Willow, this incredible new quantum chip, that solved an equation that for the most advanced supercomputer on the planet, it would have taken like something like 2 times the length, the age of the universe. It would have taken 2 times the age of the universe for the most advanced supercomputer on our planet to solve this, whatever this fucking equation is. I don't know what the equation was. But so if Google has that, that means the military, the federal government, has something infinitely more advanced than that. So that means that if you have that kind of thing, solving problems, answering questions, looking into data sets, you've probably discovered some shit that no one even knows about yet.
Oh, yeah.
That means you can do real magic. That means you could do stuff like that. Who's the science fiction writer who said a sufficiently advanced technology would be indistinguishable from magic? Mm-hmm. At that point, the control you have over people goes from being, in other words, like I don't know if you believe in this or not, but I do believe in there is some kind of ability to, quote, read minds. Like how that works, I have no idea. I've experienced it in ways that are like way beyond coin magic. It's crazy. I've experienced it multiple times. I don't know what that is.
I mean, I had a guy who's a magician. He just comes around. He's not even a world famous man. He's pretty known, but like, this motherfucker just unlocked my phone, knew my password. He was like, give me your phone. Here you go. What? I was like, I don't know
Yeah.
What I have no idea. Like, and I know enough about like sleight of hand and magic and, you know, mentalism. I've studied it enough. I'm not advanced at all. I'm bad specifically. That was the Cook Magic show we did that's on YouTube. Half of the tricks are really bad. So Cook Magic came from during the pandemic. We were doing all Zoom podcasts, like people who only get together on Zoom. So I ended up, you know, putting a cowboy hat on, eyeliner, and I had a fucking sleeveless tuxedo t-shirt, and I had a hot chick in my apartment, and I had Dan Soder and Shane Gillis and Zach Amico on Zoom, and I was performing cheesy close-up magic tricks, and they accused me of being on cocaine, so we called it Coke Magic, and that was the kernel from it, and then we did it live in Vegas with the same panel, and cool. I hired Magic Murray, who's a great magician. You know, he's like a Vegas act, but he helped me put together a whole stage show.
Fuck.
And I learned this stage show.
That is
show,
so cool, man.
And half of them were like bad tricks that were kind of cheesy. And then half of them were really good that like blew the minds of the audience and the panel.
Yeah.
It was that sort of like, I don't know why I got into that again, but.
Dude, it's cool.
Yeah, what were you saying?
No, I was saying that the fucking government has super advanced quantum computing chips. They could be doing shit right now that would like, that we couldn't even imagine is possible.
Right.
And thus, you know, that becomes actual magic. In other words, like there is a very thin line between coin magic and what we would consider actual magic. It just has to do with technological capacity. That's right. All. In other words, if I could teleport, like actually fucking teleport, right? Go from here to there. And I did it right now. You would think I was a magician. Like I had real magical powers, or you'd think I'd like spend a shit ton of money to set up some insane mind fuck for you. But let's say I could actually do it. Eventually, people would look into that and be like, oh, well, here's how you do that. There's a way to open up a wormhole via patterning of your the energy in your body. And then it would become science. It'd be no big deal.
Right.
Right? So magic is just what we don't understand.
Yeah. Flight was magic to people when we first started flying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So from that perspective, it's just like something science hasn't caught up with yet.
Right.
And
you're saying that the government already is doing some crazy magical shit that we don't know about.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt, unquestionably.
Absolutely.
It's literally the reason that I consider myself apolitical. It's the reason that I'm not, dude, everyone came down to Austin. Everyone loves a politician. That's crazy. How are we loving any politicians, you fucking pussies? Crazy, dude. Fuck all politicians. They're all evil.
And but you can follow the way in, though, right? I like following the way in.
What do you mean?
The seduction of the state. Like, I understand, like, and I have what I really love about, like, in not actually love them in a political way, but what I admire about high-level true magicians is they don't really... sort of normal people, there's off limits, or that's my enemy, that's my friend, that person loves me, that person hates me, enemy, friend. Once these high level politicians, they don't look at it like that. They just take what they can get. You don't offend them.
There's no emotion.
They're not like really mad at you.
Of course.
They're just doing one foot in front of the other.
You're right.
And I find that to be in a real Machiavellian way, fucking cool.
Right.
They take, because like if you really want to have power, you can't have an expectation that everyone who helps you is going to be your friend.
Right.
You can't, you have to take it all and filter out the bullshit. And so what I'm saying is the state, especially now, and by the state, I just mean whoever happens to be at the wheel of the fucking bus.
Right.
Is so powerful at propagandizing people. The propaganda machine right now is like no other in human history. It is incredible. Like, you know, the dream of the salesperson. Remember, like, leads, right? Getting a lead in the old days, a real lead, that's hard, dude, to get a real lead. Now, everyone's tracked. Everyone's monitored via Google or whatever. You can, like, just tell fucking Instagram to target your whatever the shit is you're selling to people who would like it.
Yep.
That's a brand new crazy dream come true for people who want to sell shit. Similarly, with politics, the analysis of certain like ways of thinking about things that people have, the identification of this based on God knows what shit we don't even know. You know, all of a sudden the algorithm starts serving you shit where you're like, how did it know I wanted
teenage girls?
how did they know? How did it know that? It's magic.
It's crazy.
Did it read my magical mind? Why am I seeing teenage girls' feet? This is so weird.
Yeah.
But it's like when you consider the fact that like you and me, I think we understand. We're on the same page with this shit. Like I know like when I'm getting manipulated. Most of the time I know when I'm getting manipulated, whether it's by the algorithm or whatever.
Mm.
But the general person has no idea.
No, they just sit in it. They don't think. And they're getting more aware, you know. There's, like, real evils and manipulation of social media, which is sort of my problem with it. Florida just made it illegal for anybody under 14 to use social media, which I think is great. I think
absolutely.
You need to let people grow. You need people. You need to have people have tangible, real wins in the real world.
Yeah.
We're way too addicted to our phone. We're way too addicted to
absolutely. How
the algorithm feeds us. And it's almost like we don't even, you know— for a while, remember, the internet was like, oh, it's beautiful, dude. It's like free will. We get to whatever we want, right?
Yeah, incredible.
And then it's even worse, because back in the day, you used to go like, all right, well, look, you know, Fox and CBS said this is good content and this is a quality TV show. And you'd sit around the TV and like, and that started to dissipate. And you started to go like, oh, cool. Nobody's telling us what's good.
Right.
We know it's good.
Yeah.
But now it's right back to even a way more manipulative way to pushing stuff on us and to, you know, controlling the way we think, whether it's for marketing purposes, whether it's for, you know, data gathering purposes or whatever. I think social media is kind of evil in its own way. But once again, can be used for good, can be used for evil.
Let me show you what it is. Josh, pull up pendulums syncing up. This is a weird fucking thing that happens, and it seems pendulum syncing up. Look at this. This is S-Y-N-C-H. Yeah, synchronized pendulums. I want to see the video, though. Go on YouTube.
I have a double pendulum tattooed on my arm.
No, you don't! Magic.
Right there, dude. Right up my sleeve, I have a double pendulum.
Yeah, there you go.
Chaos theory.
Check it out. Yeah, I know you know about this, but this is why social media is fucked up. You have these. There you go. There's the old internet right there. Cat videos. How to blow up a building. I know. Here's how you make meth. Want to fist yourself in a way that doesn't hurt? Here's a cool way to.
I'm watching it slowly happen.
Yeah. And there it goes. And so, yeah, boom. There it goes. It just syncs the fuck up. Homogenization inevitably happens. That's what happens. Homogenization. And so that's why I think the fact they call it TikTok's really fucking creepy. Like a metronome, right?
Yeah.
It's going to fucking eventually sync everybody up in this homogenized way with a set of hyper simplified black and white binary beliefs, good, bad, right, wrong. And that sync up isn't happening in a natural way, like the way it might happen if you were hanging out with a group of friends, when you're with funny people and you get funnier.
Yeah.
That sync up is happening because an algorithm programmed by state entities is gradually drawing everybody in to sync up just like that. And that's why it's fucked up. That's why you have to be so careful if you find yourself all of a sudden articulating ideas that are exactly the same ideas that everybody else is saying.
That's exactly it.
They got you.
Yep.
You're just a little ting, 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 ting. And that's why
And there's this sort of like, it's split in two now, right? It's very political and politicized, but you're right. It is like everybody's going ting, 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 ting.
And, so this is why, fuck, dude. It's like, it's a funny thing. And, you know, as a parent, we try to minimize screen time for our kids and stuff because we know it's bad. You can see what it does, you know, over time.
I don't let him do any like anything without a story. He can't watch a 30-second video that's just bah, 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 fire it off. Like it's like no. There has to be a beginning, a middle, an end. There has to be a right and wrong. Maybe like so. I I'll let him watch TV shows and movies. He's getting into streamers now, but it's like I don't let him watch like short, quick, like, you know, TikToks or shorts. He'll watch a streamer sort of like breaking down a subject or
and
a topic.
He's older. Like, you know, my little ones,
yeah,
you know, exposing them to this new form of media, you can just watch firsthand how it just it dysregulates them. You know, they want more. They fiend for it. They don't want to watch
it's addictive.
Story. They want to watch rubber ducks being smashed in like a pneumatic press. You know what I mean? Which is a whole genre of video. Yeah. You know what I mean? They want to watch like shit like that. Just basic visceral dopamine extraction stuff.
Yeah, it's satisfying or whatever it is. Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
Of course.
You were addicted?
Yes.
Yeah. Social media kind of reminds me of smoking cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Right? When I quit smoking cigarettes, I read some book that everybody reads to stop smoking cigarettes. It's a famous book. People listening know what it is. But one of the points they made in the book was like, when you smoke a cigarette, this is what resonated with me. They were like, it's out of boredom. You think you're doing it because you're doing something.
Right.
Like you're like oh, I have nothing to do right now. I just stopped smoking weed like 3 weeks ago. And it was a similar feeling where it was like, I was like, fuck, I don't know. I'm doing nothing right now. Right. I would be rolling a blunt. I would be going outside to smoke it and spending 15, 20 minutes sort of like in my head and then zoning for an hour. But that's actually nothing. There's actually no real value to that experience, specifically with cigarettes. Like the only value is actually a negative value. You're giving yourself cancer, making your teeth yellow, making your fingers yellow. You stink. You stink. Yeah, it sucks. But I feel like social media is very similar.
Sure.
You feel like you're doing something when you're not. You're just doom scrolling and you're just sort of feeding yourself this mindless shit. And it's making you sync up with this whole fucking thing that you really don't want to sync up with everything. You want to be at your own beat. You want to be fucking having people sync up to you.
Absolutely.
As I start thinking about social media and how it's affecting me and how it's affecting, you know, my son and my family, I'm like, I'm just every time I scroll, every time I fucking, you know, swipe down to get it to see if I have any notifications, it's just taking another puff.
That's what it feels like, doesn't
breathing
it?
Breathing it in.
Quick little weird grimy high that
from it. Like, oh, I'm going out. I got to go outside for a smoke. I got to look at my Twitter right now.
It's an itchy feeling too. Yeah. And also it's like, you know, like when you're sitting watching a show with someone and then they look at their phone, mm-hmm. How weird that feels.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird feeling. That moment the phone comes out, the moment the reality gets bifurcated, suddenly an alternate universe is opened up in the room where someone's staring at some dumbass.
That's the reason I don't leave my phone on the table anymore.
Dude, a good idea. I didn't, you know, yeah, I should have done
that. It's in my pocket. And so the reason is because, or is it under my hat? I never keep my phone. Where's my phone?
See what happens, Eve?
It's on the floor. But I don't, the reason, because it sends like this message, you know, that to people that you're hanging out with, that, you know, people you're talking to, this like, hey, there's a whole other world here that might be more important than you right now.
It is more important.
It is more. There's something else going on. And I find myself when I'm in, I used to get mad at my business partner because we'd be in the middle of meetings and he'd have his phone and then he'd look down and get a notification. He'd pick it up in the middle of a meeting. And I'm like, we're talking. And I'm like, what are you doing? I hit him on the leg. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, you're just telling everyone. And most people don't notice it because most people live their life that way.
That's right.
But I really notice it.
Yeah.
And I think it's like if I'm in the middle of a meeting with somebody or if I'm on a date and some chick's got her phone right there and she picks it up in the middle of the date and starts, and I'm going,
it's
like,
the worst.
It's a big turnoff. I'm like, let's just be connected. Let's have a moment where we're, you know, making eye contact. Like, I haven't stopped making eye contact with you during this podcast.
I know. It's great.
I want you to know that I'm fucking in tune with what you're saying. Yeah. It's a level of respect that you have for another human being.
Yeah.
And I think this next generation is going to lose a lot of that. And I think it's an advantage that my son will have in his life, the fact that he's not just on his phone, he's not scrolling, he talks to people, he can make eye contact, he has real conversations. I think that's really important. The way that everyone communicates with 99% of the people in their lives is just by sending a text or sending this. Like, I pick up the phone, I call people. I FaceTime very often, too. I'm a big FaceTime guy. So if I'm speaking to somebody, I'm like, let's get on FaceTime. I want to see your face.
That's cool.
I want to see you looking at me. I want you to see my face. I want you to know that we do Zoom meetings, right, with like my whole production company. And I'm like, everyone turn your cameras on. Like, what are you doing? Like, everyone turn your cameras on right now. We're talking to each other. Let's look at each other. Let me see how your face reacts. There's something that you could read people's microaggressions. You can tell if somebody doesn't actually really like something because they're going to go, oh yeah, I love that. but you can see it. You know what I'm like. You know what it is. You know when you when you're dealing with somebody who like you get something back in the day. I'm sure it's different now. We all have a decent amount of success that I think we let go of those negative people. But you know when you would get something back in the day, you nail an audition or you get into a club and you tell your one friend who's not getting as much stuff, and he's like, "Oh, that's great, dude." And you just see it on his face. You're like, "Oh, he's not happy."
The evil eye.
Yeah, he's not happy for me at all. And you know those people. You those are the people you cut out of your life. But if you're literally just texting, you're just dealing with them on social media. How do you ever get a gauge to who's real and who's really like?
Don't.
And you're untraining yourself to read that. I think that's such an important part of human experience.
Sure.
Is just looking at somebody in the fucking face and
yeah.
having that like and going like, oh no, I can. I think I'm pretty good at reading people. I think I could look at people's body language. I could look at their face.
Sure.
I don't think I'm overthinking it. I think you know. Most of the time, if you trust that instinct,
yes.
you can go like, oh, that's a negative person. That person is, doesn't have my yeah. best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Cut them out. That feeling, that gut feeling you have, it's right.
It's
every
right.
time. It's never, you're never wrong, dude.
Right.
Never fucking wrong. Women have always talked about women's intuition. Anytime I've been cheating on a chick, she's like, I just know you are. She's right. She's right, dude.
Don't say it.
She's right.
Delete that. You're gonna regret that in the future.
No, but
that you can't.
Well,
put
I don't cheat on girls anymore, specifically because I don't fucking want to deal with the anxiety. It's not even a moral thing.
I know, but here's the problem. So one day the woman instinct is just gonna be
it's gonna be dead wrong.
Too many wines.
But you don't want that chick
Let
in your
me
life
show
anyway.
You this clip from a podcast I saw. I suspect you, and so I guess I'm right.
But she probably is. She, you know, it's that you know, your gut, you got to just, I mean, maybe I'm giving every human a little bit too much credit. Maybe people are, you know, dumbing themselves down a little bit, but I do believe that human intuition is just like, that's
dude.
Another, it's just magic. Dude.
My wife is tuned into the kids. Like I yeah. used to like I would used to think, oh, you're overreacting here a little bit, but every fucking time, whatever the fuck it was she was worried about, she just was somehow sensed it.
It's your magic, dude.
Situational
That's
awareness.
It. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when you consider, well, you know, the dystopian tech landscape that we all live in, if situational awareness is the primary, if situational awareness is the primary trait to up your chances of staying alive, and you walk down the street and look at everyone glued to their fucking phones. No idea what's happening around them. And then you add to it what we talked about earlier, that business is magic. You realize, holy fucking shit, the entire like world has been like completely drawn in to a pseudo reality and they don't see anything happening around them. In other words, if you did want to sort of like move around in the world and no one notices you, it's the best time to do that
because
no one's noticing shit.
Yeah,
all...
if you were to discount, it's almost you. What is that? The movie about the three witches with like
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, it's Hocus Pocus. Yeah, yeah. It's like you know, they sing that song that kind of like entrances everybody, and I feel like that song is just happening, and everyone's like, oh,
yeah,
like walking through life in this sort of magical trance, and they don't even realize that they're being led by this thing. And if you can break that spell, you can move through life in a fucking amazing way.
That's
There's
right.
so many advantages.
Break
to
this spell.
Break that spell.
And
snap
also,
out of it.
You got to have compassion because to go back to what we were talking about earlier, whoever has been drawn in to the state's propaganda, whether it's leftists, right-wing people, centrists, I don't care what the fuck they are, right now everyone has to have extra compassion because these people... A lot of these people have, imagine this, they've never taken LSD.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
They've never seen it.
Most people probably. What do you think percentage of people are that have taken LSD in the world?
Not enough. But, you know, it's that's the antidote to this propaganda. I know you got to go soon, but when you realize that, and then you add to it getting shotgun blasted in the face by high-tech fucking... super powerful, super seductive propaganda that isn't just like, believe this or you're fucked, but it has the, as far as I can tell, is just okay with just, I'm gonna just move the needle a tiny little bit. Move it just a little bit right. Just a touch. And that's enough. Then a little bit more. Slow boil them to the right or the left.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They don't even know it.
Nope.
They just think they're learning a TikTok dance.
Yep.
They don't know that TikTok dance was funded by the fucking DNC.
I love it.
You're the best. I know you got to go shoot guns. I wish I could go with you, man.
I wish you could come, too. I love you. I love you, too. We got to do this more often, dude.
You're so smart.
Yeah,
and
no, stop.
I love getting to spend time with you. And you're inspirational. I know you got to go, but I must say, those Instagram clips that you've been posting.
Me getting jacked as fuck?
No. Waking up early and taunting us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my favorite kind of.
I know. I have to stop trolling my fans. Some of them get very mad about it.
I think it's that kind of shit gets me going. It's like, you know what? Fuck you. I will.
That was one of my biggest goals was to get up in the morning and work out first thing. And it's not working out. It's not even a meathead fucking thing, dude. It's everything, right? Working out it's sort of like watering myself. And that leads to every other area of sort of success. I learned I was a kinetic learner in like middle school or whatever. They did these tests and the way people learn and like the way if I were to study for a test or memorize things, I have to physically write it with my hand.
Yes.
That's how it really sticks with me, you know? And I think working out is like a physical representation of bettering myself mentally, physically, everything. And it when I do that, I'm better in every other area of my life. And I'm happier. I'm better to people. I'm better communicating.
What time are you getting up? What time are you getting up to do this?
At 7, and then I'm usually at the gym by 8.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't crazy.
I thought you were there at like 5.
No. That'd be nuts. But maybe I will. Maybe I will do that eventually one day. Maybe I'll keep on pushing it back because I like to just...
7's great.
Dude, I start off my day really thinking... The whole time I'm working, I'm thinking about bettering myself, whether it's just even just looking better in that moment, but I start thinking about everything that are going on in my life. I work through my problems, and it's just this time where I'm just completely working on the whole package.
Yes.
And I don't want to fuck it up. By the time noon comes, I'm like, well, I'm not going to get into an argument with somebody or you know, I'm not going to fucking not do what I'm supposed to do today because I just put so much effort and energy into
it
making
sure.
It
clarifies the mind.
Yeah, it really does. It does. So, and it's, people don't have to be into fitness, but maybe it's getting up and meditating and just thinking about yourself and bettering yourself.
Just going for a walk.
Doing something. Just spending that time, you know, physically putting it in, making a physical connection with my mind and my body. It's a good thing. And I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm 42 years old.
Dude, in the morning, I get up around 5, fly my drone. And I'll tell you, nothing is more relaxing than watching your neighbor sleep. You're the best. I love you too.
You're the fucking man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you need to plug anything?
You know what's funny? So I just started a new podcast. It's a little more serious tone, much more like, I guess, who you're getting from me.
Yeah.
We're funny on this, obviously, but like, you know, I do think, you know, beyond just dumb fucking edgelordy jokes, which is what you get on Legion of Skanks and a lot of the other shows that I do. But I do a podcast called Lewis Journal, and it's just me solo.
Cool.
It's just me talking about everything from, you know, parenting to mental health to my physical health to just trying to overall be a better version of myself.
Cool.
I don't want to call it self-help because that's gay, but it's like I think the people that have liked it have really liked it. It's not available publicly. You can only get it on my email list. If you go to my website, lewisofskanks.com,
cool.
You got to sign up for the email list, and it comes every Friday. I do a little newsletter with things that are going on in my life, and I wanted to separate a portion of my audience. This is the most important portion of my audience is the people that kind of want to see the best version of me. Because when I'm on Legion of Skanks, like I'm, you know, if I have, like everyone has a bad day. Everyone fucking, you know, talks back to a waiter or you know, has a moment where they're rude to a cab driver. And I sort of put myself out there that way because I know it's going to be funny and they're going to make fun of me. But that's not who I am ultimately. I'm who I am or who I want to be is the person I am to my father, my closest friends, like, you know. So that podcast, I think if you like this conversation, people would like that podcast because it's a little bit more of that perspective. So that's the only thing I'll plug is go to my website. I'm touring right now. I'm doing a new special in July, but you can get my tour dates on my website and it's all fucked up. It's not heady comedy. It's all still fucked up jokes.
Dude, you're
and
funny as fuck.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I love your stand-up, man.
Thank you so much, Duncan. And go subscribe to the email list. And obviously I do a bunch of podcasts and I have a podcast network and all that other stuff. But I think people would like that. Just go to my, sign up for my email list and got some cool stuff going on.
Awesome. Thanks, dude.
You're the best.
Enjoy those guns. Bye. Follow Mr. Gomez on Twitter, Instagram. The link for his solo episode is somewhere around here, depending on if you're listening or watching. Subscribe. Become a member of the YouTube channel or my Patreon. You'll get commercial-free episodes. And I love you guys. I'll see you next week.